we're going to look at Daniel chapter 5 this morning. Daniel chapter 5. The story of Nebuchadnezzar is done. He fades off the scene. We're not really told much more about him. We finished last week, chapter 4, where we believed that Nebuchadnezzar got saved. God humbled him. And that was a lesson not just for Nebuchadnezzar, but that lesson was to go to all the kingdom. That was a lesson that God wanted everybody to learn, and that leads us to chapter 5, because now we meet Belshazzar. Belshazzar, he's called his son in chapter 5. Some people, they say, well, that could refer to him as being a grandson. Either way, he was either a son or a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to get hung up on that. He was in the line, all right? So he knew he was in Nebuchadnezzar's line, and we're going to learn about Belshazzar. So the question this morning is, having seen what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, have others learned their lessons? You see, sometimes things happen to other people. We either hear about it, we read about it, and we say, oh, wow, what? That's an interesting story. But do we learn from it? You see, God allows things to happen to others, and God allows things, these stories that are written in the Bible, not just so we know about the stories. Look with me as we start with in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us one of the reasons why God preserved all these Old Testament stories. They're not just so we have interesting stories to talk about. 1 Corinthians 10 reminds us that these stories are there to give us lessons too. Look at verse 6. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. He's talking here in 1 Corinthians 10 about what happened to Israel under Moses' leadership and all the things that they went through. And he says in verse 6, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Talking about the golden calf story. And verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. And verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. The story when they complained in the desert and God sent snakes into the camp of Israel and they got bitten and many of them died. And then verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And then again, verse 11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, or again, examples. And they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. In other words, all those stories we read in the Old Testament and New Testament are for our learning. So that we, as it said there in 1 Corinthians 10, so we don't make the same mistakes. You know, a lot of times students in school will ask, why do we have to learn history and this and that? And what's the age-old saying? Those who don't know history are what? Doomed to repeat it. And it's so true also with the Bible. If we don't know these stories and we don't read the Bible, then we're going to be doomed to follow their mistakes. And woe unto us if we know the stories and still do the mistakes.
Amen.
And that's exactly what happens in Daniel 5.
Amen.
We're going to meet a man in Daniel 5 who knew. He knew the story about Nebuchadnezzar, but he still went down the same road that Nebuchadnezzar went down. And that's the road of pride. He still went down the same road, even knowing. And it begins in chapter 5, verse 1, as problems often begin, with partying. Let's face it, alright? Let's be real with each other here. People in and of themselves are prone to trouble, right? That's just natural. You throw alcohol in the mix, and you've just turned it up. You've just amped up the trouble.
Amen.
You've just amped up the trouble meter. Let's face it, when do most crimes happen? They happen at the bars or at the nightclubs at 2 in the morning when everybody's been drinking all night, and then the guns come out, right?
Amen.
And the bullets start flying across the place. Because once you throw alcohol in the mix, that's it. And Belshazzar, what's he doing in verse 1? He has a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and they drank wine before the 1,000. The wine is flowing profusely. The alcohol is flowing, and that is your first blank. Belshazzar the king made a great feast. Now, a feast in and of itself is not a bad thing, but this quickly turned into a drunken feast. This turned into a drunken feast, and this is where Belshazzar gets himself into big trouble. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. If you turn back a little bit, you'll reach, after you pass the prophets of Jeremiah and Isaiah and all them, you'll reach eventually Ecclesiastes. If you turn back, Ecclesiastes 7. The Bible gives us a little warning here, because it is often when we are feasting that we can sometimes get carefree. Excess. And listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes 7:2. This is Solomon speaking, wise man. He said, it is better... This is just comparing two things. He said, it is actually better to go to the house of mourning, weeping, than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Meaning, when do we often stop and reflect on what's important in life? John? One of the main classic places that really causes us to slow down and reflect on life and what's important are funerals. Let's face it. You go to a funeral, it's a somber occasion. It causes you to reflect, and it causes you to think about your own life, right? Because if you go to a funeral, you hear the message about the person's life, and one of the main thoughts that I think that pops into all of our minds when we attend a funeral is, I hope that someday I leave a good legacy behind, right? So that when someday, when my funeral arrives, that it'll be, people will remember good things, not bad things, right? And that's all that Solomon is saying in Ecclesiastes 7:2. Because when we go to the house of feasting, very rarely do we stop and reflect on the important things of life when we're feasting it up and celebrating. I mean, again, celebrations are good. I'm not saying to ban celebrations in your life. That's it. No more birthday parties. No more parties. That's it. The rest of it. No, that's not. That's an extreme approach. Joy is good, and we're commanded to have joy in our lives. But it's also the house of mourning and weeping causes us to really reflect on life. Belshazzar is not having any self-reflection. He's not thinking about his life. He's not saying, man, I should be careful here. No, he's having a big party, carefree. No thoughts for God. No thoughts for humility. And look at verse 2 now when we go to chapter 5 again. Daniel 5 verse 2. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Now he takes it a step further. He gets the bright idea, not so bright idea really, to grab the temple vessels that his father took when Nebuchadnezzar took Israel captive and plundered Israel and destroyed the temple and all those things and took everything from there. He said, let's get those cups. Let's get those golden and silver cups from the temple and let's drink out of them. Now what he's doing is he's mocking God. Those temple vessels, we're told in the Old Testament, were holy, sanctified, set apart for God. They were only to be used for the worshiping of God. And now they're being used in a drunken party. Amen. Totally disrespecting God is what they're doing. So that's your next blank. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God. They're drinking wine out of the holy vessels that were taken out of the temple. Very sad. And just total disrespect for the things of God. But do we not see it in our culture? A total disrespect for the things of God? A complete lack of the fear of God in many areas of our culture today? Just complete, you know, it's as though anything sacred is, they joke about, they make light of, especially on television and movies. It just seems like anything holy becomes a joke. Anything sacred becomes common. And that's the world we live in. And that's Belshazzar, rather. Belshazzar's living that way. Just disrespecting God. Make light. Yeah, that's, you're getting, it's like a borderline. We need to be careful. Be careful about what you joke around about. Be careful about certain things, because God is, you know, a lot of things are holy and set apart. Verse 3. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. And look at verse 4. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. They're not worshiping God. They're worshiping idols. But they're using God's vessels from the temple in this. So your next blank is, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver. Proverbs 20 and verse 1. If somebody would turn there and read that for us. Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker. It will make a mockery of your life. And it's just one of those things you're just safer staying away from.
Amen.
You're just altogether as a believer, safer to just avoid it altogether. And every once in a while you'll meet brother or sister so-and-so who wants to tell you how, well, you know, I'm okay. I have a cup or two a day and, you know, I'm good. And you know what? First of all, if they do that, they shouldn't be talking about it, because Romans 14 talks about those things. In other words, Romans 14 says, don't set up an occasion for your brother to stumble. Because then if the wrong Christian hears that, maybe a former alcoholic who's a new believer, and they hear brother or sister or so-and-so in the back of the church talking about how, well, you know, I'm okay. I drink a cup or two a day and I'm good. And, you know, I don't get drunk. I just drink a cup or two, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's good for your heart. I know all that. But you know what? Brother, the new believer, he's hearing that and he's like, oh, well, you know, deacon so-and-so drinks a glass a day. I guess I could too. And before you know it, they're right back in a mess. You know, it's one of those things you're better off just avoiding it altogether. And for those who walk around boasting that, well, I just have one or two a day, they really ought not be talking about it, because they're going to cause somebody to stumble. Tony?
Well, if you can believe this, I used to make certain recipes that I cooked.
Right.
Called for wine.
Sure.
Or rum to make it sweet.
Right.
Even beer, they make beer.
Right.
I used to make a pork roast. Put beer on the bottom. And when you cook,
it burns it out.
The alcohol evaporates. So
true.
All you have left is the sugar.
That's right.
Which makes that pork taste really sweet.
You're right.
But I've stopped even doing that, because suppose I went in a liquor store and somebody
sees
me coming out.
Yes.
Oh, there goes the big mouth who's always talking against the drinking.
Yeah.
Here he is coming out of a liquor store.
Exactly right. You're right. That's exactly right. You're right, brother. Just avoid it altogether and be careful, right? All right. We're in Daniel chapter 5. All right, Daniel chapter 5.